May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our deliverer. Amen. And so we begin by looking at the idea, the image, if we can bring it up, of Moses holding back the water, or God through Moses, a wall of water to the left, a wall of water to the right. And how many people think of Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments? And in the day, it was like, wow, that was special effects. But I want you to think about the power, sovereign power of our God, the Creator, who has sovereignty over all of creation. After all the hurricanes, when you think about, can you ever keep water away from anything? If water wants to get somewhere, water's going to get somewhere. And think of all the damage water has done down in Florida and down in Texas and Louisiana and the islands, Key West and all of that. But it's just amazing. I don't know why, but I think of the movie Bruce Almighty when he's looking at the tomato. He's looking at the tomato soup, and he parts it because he has the power of God. He parts the tomato soup. And also The Far Side is a wonderful cartoon I love by Gary Larson. And this is a cartoon of a silly-looking Moses looking in the mirror, parting his hair. But anyways, I want us to think about how important it is in our life to think about being delivered through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, so that you're at point A and you want to get to point B. How do you get there? And you have to admit you can't get there alone. So hopefully you have your blue piece of paper, a little piece of blue paper that if you don't have it, then maybe Carlene or someone else in the back, Mike, could get it for you, and you can put your hand up. But I want you to think about the next few minutes. Well, this is what where people are bringing the blue paper. So I want you to write on the blue piece of paper, no names. At some point during the sermon, I want you to write down what you would love to be delivered from. What do you need to be delivered from in your life? What's either hounding you or pursuing you like Pharaoh's army? There could be a number of different things that you could write down and say, Lord, I need to be delivered from this particular thing. It'd be more than one. It could be an addiction. It could be an attitude. It could be an attitude that you know is not correct. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Do you know that in the Hebrew Bible, you're supposed to forgive your brother 3 times and then you were good? Then imagine you only had to forgive your brothers 3 times. That'd be pretty cool, huh? Now, but Peter takes, he says, all right, I'll give you 3, I'll double it to 6, and then I'll add 1 more, and then I'll ask Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And he probably thinks Jesus is going to say, yeah, that sounds good. You double the Hebrew law and add 1, 7. That's good. What does Jesus say? No, not 7 times. 7 times 7. And not 490, if my math is correct. But really, an eternal amount of times we're called to be forgiving and loving to our brother. And that's something that you can write down. You can write down that you have bitterness towards somebody, whether that person's alive or in heaven looking down. Somebody that you know you need to forgive because you're carrying a weight. You need to be delivered from that through the grace of Jesus. Write that down. It could be you need to be delivered from yourself. You've gotten in the way of yourself, the way you've been thinking. Do you know that the Israelites were enslaved for 400 years? Do you know they complained to Moses before they even got to the Red Sea? Do you know that they said, you know, why did you do this to us? We were better off as slaves in Egypt. Imagine that. That means you might write down something that you've dealt with your whole life that you're just tired of. You don't want to settle. Many times I have been apathetic. You want to write apathy. You want to write indifference. You want to write down complacency. Lord, deliver me from complacency. I want to be alive. You know, think about what you honestly would like to bring up and put in the basket and give to God and say, Lord, I ask you to deliver me. You know, we had the parade last week and how wonderful that was. How many people saw the parade? We had a lot of people marching in the parade in our new church t-shirts. And I love walking down straight down Main Street. with the cross being the center of our flow. What I love most, though, and it seemed like it was Moses parting the Red Sea because there's so many people on the left and on the right. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the whole idea of walking between walls of water. Did you ever think of that when you were a kid? I always thought how wonderful that is. I wanted to reach in and just grab a fish, look at it, and just put it back in there. Or just put your hand in. Wall of water. Well, the parade was like walls of people. And I marched down that. And how many, right, Craig? How many people did we see that we knew? Hey, what's up, Cash? How many? Tons of, Greg knows everybody. He could be the mayor of Westboro. But a lot of people saying, Pastor John, hey, Pastor John, hey, how you doing? And it made me think, we're all in this together. Whatever we are facing in life and the difficulty, you know, you can watch TV and it's all bad news. It's wonderful to have a community come all together. We were part of the diversity section of the parade. We were first in the diversity section. But what touched me most was how many hugs and kisses I gave. I'm like, I know these people well enough to be comfortable enough to give a hug and a kiss. And there was one woman, Polly Howard. She's 90 years old. She's the cookie lady. She gave cookies out for a year. We drive by her house, and I go, Ashley, that cookie lady lives there. Oh, she's the one that makes the cookies? Oh, that's the cookie lady. So I owed her a lot of hugs and kisses from all the cookies through the years. So I came up to Polly, and she's like this, and I gave her a big hug and a kiss. And I said, I love you, Polly. And she says, I love you, Pastor John. And I step back and give her a hug and a kiss. And she goes, that'll be $5. And I said, I got a pocket full of fives, and I'm ready for hugs and kisses anytime. I'll be back. And then we kept marching. And then what was beautiful, too, is Ben Segarian, on his own, built this little cross, wooden cross, the vertical piece and the horizontal piece, and he draped his confirmation stole over it. Red, bright red confirmation stole with the dove of the Holy Spirit on it descending. And he said, is it okay if I hold this? And I said, Ben, you're going to be the drum majorette. You're going to be on the front of our parade, and I want you to lift that high. And you should have seen him just walk out there like this. One of our young people, amen? Teenager, I don't know how old he is, just doing this right down Main Street for everybody. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. And it made me think of Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermon, preached only 2 months before he was killed, called the Drum Major Effect, that everybody wants to be up front. And he preached about Peter, the disciples, arguing about who was the greatest among them. And he said, when I die, I hope they say about Martin Luther King Jr. that he tried to love somebody. And that I can be the drum majorette for righteousness and for justice and peace. That's what I thought when I saw Ben Segarian just doing this. Like, what are you going out front with? What are you parting waters with in your life? What's following you that's hounding you, and what's in the way that needs to be moved out of the way so you can make your way? Now, for us, we believe in what the cross represents, that we're delivered from sin and death. Like the Israelites were delivered from the bondage of slavery, as Christians, we believe that Jesus leads us from the captivity of sin and death, amen, and hopelessness. There's too many people in the world that are hopeless and struggling. You know, one of my nightmares, and actually I had a nightmare. You ever have a recurring bad dream? I think it's because we're working things out. I had a dream, it was a week ago, not even a week ago, but I've had this dream numerous times. It's sort of in the category of you can't get to class. You're late for class and you're not prepared for class, or you forgot you had a class. You're like, what? You could be out of school for years and still have that dream hit you, that you're missing something that you need to do, and you have stress and anxiety. You might want to write that down. Deliverance from stress and anxiety and worry. So my dream, and I'll lay it out in line for you, my dream, believe it or not, every now and then, I have a dream, and I had it so vividly. There's an auditorium, it's usually not a church for whatever reason, auditorium full of people that are ready and eager and hungry to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know they're there, and I struggle to get there. I forget something, I don't have my robe, where's my sermon? or the building is so big I get lost in the building, but I know they're waiting. And I know they're only going to wait for a little bit longer, or they'll just leave. And literally, anxiety just takes over in my dream. And I wake up, literally in a cold sweat. Have you ever had a cold sweat? Something just happened, you can't get out of your head. I have to give that dream up to God and say, Lord, that's my worst nightmare. Someone that's ready to hear the word of God, bless you. And I can't get there to them. So I'm going to write stress and worry and anxiety on this. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. How powerful that is. 400 years enslaved the Israelites were. But you know what? The pillar of fire moved from the front of them to behind them. I thought that was interesting. When Pharaoh's army was getting closer, the angel of God, the pillar of fire, moved from in front of them, leading them to where they needed to go, to behind, to be in between their enemies, to be a buffer, to be someone, to be the presence that can keep that which hounds you at bay. Isn't that beautiful that God seeks to deliver you? God knows what's after you in this world. And I love the part where it's, and the chariot wheels fall off. Have you ever heard the wheels fell off as a saying? We were doing well till the wheels fell off. I had a friend that was actually driving a car literally, and the back wheel came off and rolled by him while he was driving. That can't be good. But in this case, it's good because if you think something's after you and you don't think God can delay that thing from overwhelming you or stop something from getting you down, you have to trust that that happened in this scripture. And so I want you to think about how important it is to be honest. Be honest with what you need to be delivered from. It could be grief. It could be heartache. It could be poor health and you're just stressed about it and you're worried about it. I want you to believe that your God, my God, our mighty God, is larger and bigger than any fear. Can I hear it? Amen. Yeah. Isn't that awesome to know that? That you trust in a God that's bigger and stronger and greater than anything that is after you in life, whatever that might be. That nothing will separate you from the great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you have to be honest with what is the thing that you need to be delivered from. Now, Max Lucado was the beautiful writer and preacher, pastor, and he wrote this about deliverance, and I just thought I'd just lift it up and just hear these words. It's a little devotion from Max Lucado. You'll get through this. Right, Sal? You'll get through this. You fear you won't. We all do. We feel stuck, trapped, locked in. Will we ever exit this pit? Yes. Deliverance is to the Bible what jazz music is to Mardi Gras. Bold, brassy, and everywhere. Out of the lion's den for Daniel, the whale's belly for Jonah, in the prison for Paul. Through the Red Sea onto dry ground. Through the wilderness. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Through. It's a favorite word of God's. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. It won't be painless. Have you wept your final tear? Received your last round of chemotherapy? Not necessarily. Does God guarantee the absence of struggle? Not in this life. We see Satan's tricks and ploys, but God sees Satan tripped and foiled. You'll get through this. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So I want you to really think about how important it is to name the things that you're either afraid of or the fact that you're feeling hopeless and you want to have hope. You're feeling joyless and you want to have joy. You're feeling purposeless and you want to be delivered from that to a place of purpose. You have to do your part. I think the pillar of fire behind them, God in between the Israelites and Pharaoh's army, wasn't just to buffer them and to protect them. It probably was to push them. Because, you know, they looked at the wall of water to the right and left, and they stood still. They didn't immediately walk onto that dry ground. And God said to Moses, tell the Israelites to move, to take the step of faith, to do everything you can do to believe in deliverance. And so God has a plan for you today. I want us to close by looking at the scripture that I want you to repeat after me. It's Psalm 18, verse 2. It's only one verse, but in this one verse, eight times the psalmist writes my, the word my. And so just repeat after me. The Lord is my rock. Say my rock. The Lord is my fortress. Say my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. Say my deliverer. Say my rock. My refuge. He is my shield. In the horn of my salvation. My salvation. And now to close, as loud as you can, say, my stronghold. My stronghold. Amen. So write down at the closing, this can be during our prayer time right now or during the closing hymn. There's a couple prayers I want to lift up. And I don't know if Lloyd is willing to just come down. Can you just show your little baby, if it's okay? Just stand right here. There's a little newborn baby. And I just want to lift up a name, because names are so important. And this is my new good friend, Lloyd. And this is his new little baby, Ella Gwen. And her name, Gwen, comes from Gwinnett. And that's Lloyd's mother, who was called home to God at the young age of 59. How many days after? A week after little Alec Gwen was born, Lloyd's mother was called home to God. Just 3 days after they celebrated the life of Lloyd's mother, his father died. And so within a 10-day period of time, Lloyd and his family, Shannon, his wife, family had to face intense grief while welcoming a newborn. So I want our prayer today just to be a general blessing on this little life that brings to us hope, and brings us together today to say this is why we have faith. And the only thing I know is holding Lord together is the faith of his parents, that he can think of them and how they raised him in the faith. And Lord shared with me they had church in their home. And they sang. Lloyd's a very talented singer and musician. He's the director, one of the directors at the Faith School, music director. And I just want to ask, our main prayer today is, what do we need to be delivered from? And this little baby. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless Lloyd and little Ella Gwen. At the same time, we ask you to bless her mother, Shannon, and big sister, Jazzy, and older brother, Aiden. We ask you to bless her grandparents who looked out from heaven. The Lord will tell her about and what faith they had through thick and thin, through hardship, through fire, through water. You've gotten them through. And I just ask you, anointing upon your servant, Lloyd, as he faces the burden of grief, preparing to celebrate his father's life next weekend, and all those traveling. That you brought Lloyd here today to hold a little baby in front of everybody to remind us the power of your love to keep us going. We will not give up. We will go through together. We thank you, God, for giving us deliverance from hopelessness, deliverance from sorrow and pain, for you promised our salvation. Through the cross and your resurrection, through your grace, we will know abundant and eternal life. So bless all those today, what we write on these pages, these little pieces of paper, that we commend to you and cry out to you for deliverance. You are our rock, our shield, our high tower. We need you, God, to give us focus and vision, to be the drum major
of righteousness and of justice and peace, to be out front in service and sacrifice. All this, Lord, we lift to you with a great many more prayers and thanksgiving for life. As we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Can we all say we love you, Ella? Ella, right? We love you, Ella. Thank you. Amen. Beautiful little baby, new to this world. And so it was interesting, I lifted up, there's a great special on Martin Luther, and if you've seen it on WGBH, celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And then I went to IHN and want to thank those who helped host this week at the Interfaith Hospitality Network Family Homeless Shelter. And Nancy went on Monday, I slept over Tuesday, and there was a gentleman there named Martin Luther King, African American man, and he named his son, who was there, Martin Luther King Jr. And he's the one that told me that Martin Luther King Jr.'s father was named Michael Luther King. I did not know that he changed his name to Martin Luther King because he loved Martin Luther and the Reformation, and we're saved by grace and grace alone. But I thought that was something else to meet this young man and pray with him. And his name is Martin Luther King. Amen. So let's stand now and sing our closing song and then have some good food. I hope you can stick around. Let's sing, My Life is in You, Lord. Amen. And please come up if you are ready to put your piece of paper in the basket. There's also an offering plate in the back if you'd rather put it in the offering plate on the way out. Let's sing. Send us forth.
out of this hurting world to bring the good news to all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
He's John. So next time.